We've been talking about God's love and how God's love last week saves us, and now this week about how God's love adopts us. It's been said in regards to getting a job, or maybe joining a social group, or even being selected for a great position or a task, that in order to get in, so to speak, it's not what you know, it's who you know. In regards to getting into heaven, which is the kingdom of God the Father, this is somewhat true, but it falls short of being complete. And is one of the tools that the enemy uses on unsuspecting souls to lure them away from the kingdom of God. Okay, we like to say it's not what you know, it's who you know that gets you to heaven. And that's partially true. But, you see, we can't stop there. Because in James chapter 2, it tells us even the demons believe and shudder. They know who God is. They know who Jesus is. When Jesus was casting out demons, they knew who He was. They knew He was the Son of the living God. They knew He had the power over them. But they're not going to be in heaven. So there's more to it than just knowing who Jesus is and who God is. In the case of being accepted into the kingdom of God the Father, the most important consideration is whose you are, who you belong to. And only the adopted children of God will be admitted into the Father's kingdom. I'm going to say it again because this is very, very important in the Christian community, in biblical teaching, in our spiritual walk. Only the adopted children of God will be admitted into the Father's kingdom. And the debate begins, doesn't it? Some will say, well, we're all God's children. Do you know the Bible does not say that? The Bible does not say that we are all God's children. Anywhere. We are all God's creation. But the Bible does not teach, nor does Orthodox Christianity teach, that we are just all God's children. What the Bible does teach us is that we only become God's children by adoption by God, which involves a covenant of faith or belief in God's only Son, Jesus Christ. And by believing, one has an identity that you cannot get anywhere else, that cannot come any way else except by believing. And that identity is a child of God. In reference to my own personal identity, although I have different credentials regarding who I am based on what I've done or what I've achieved in my life here on earth, the one thing that ultimately identifies who I am is my birth certificate and my baptism. In my birth certificate, it identifies me as God's creation, that I came into the world as a human being. It tells when I came, where I came, to who I belong in this world. But when we turn to our baptism certificates and our confirmation papers, they are our adoption papers showing us symbolizing that we made a profession of faith to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. And now, the old is gone, the new has come. We are then adopted by God as His child. What I want to do is help us understand some of the things about this teaching, this doctrine about the children of God. First of all, how one comes to be a child of God. What's expected of God's children, and what are the blessings of God's children? In our text today, Paul explains how this takes place in Ephesians. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." This is God's spiritual blessing that He has blessed us by providing a way to be adopted. See, that every spiritual blessing comes in Christ. Secondly, we see it was God's holy choice. He chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. You see, the reason we are not all God's children and that we're just all going to heaven is because we are not all redeemed. God is not holy. God is not holy, holy. God is holy, holy, holy. And from birth on this earth, we are, as the Bible teaches, because we are descendants of Adam, born in sin. And we are unholy. So there needs to be a way for us to be made holy, because holiness and unholiness cannot coexist together in God's kingdom. So before the earth was created, God made a way for the unholy to become holy so that He can adopt the holy as His children. The unholy are not God's children, the Bible teaches us. And we see it was His holy choice that He chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless. So in other words, we become holy and blameless through Christ. Doesn't mean we're perfect on this world, on this earth, in this world, in this life. But in God's sight, because we're covered in the blood of Christ, accepting Christ, God sees us as holy and blameless, therefore adopts us as His children. And we see, thirdly, that it was His loving act. In love He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. In other words, to God, this is what made Him happy, was to do it this way. In love He predestined us. His love adopts us because He loves His creation. He loves us all. And He wants us all to be with Him forever. And the only way that's possible is for us to be made holy and blameless. Because when we're made holy and blameless, we are adopted as His children. Because that's His loving act. We're adopted as sons. Now, I want you to think about this a little bit. When Paul wrote this, being adopted as a son is figurative language here, because in that culture, the only ones that inherited anything were the sons, right? So he's saying that we've been adopted as sons, so therefore we become inheritors. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit. We become heirs. And fourthly, this takes place because it was His eternal purpose. He did it to the praise of His glorious grace, which He's freely given us in the one He loved. It's an act of grace and love for the praise and His glory. He did this. So it was God's plan to adopt us through Jesus Christ by receiving Him as our own personal Savior. And as John tells us in 1 John this morning, as we read, came to this world, but the world didn't know Him, didn't recognize Him. He came to His own people, which were the Jews, but they didn't receive Him. But yet to all who did receive Him, and to those who believed in His name, Jesus gave the right to become children of God. Not natural children. Not because it was a human decision or a husband's will, but it was God's good pleasure that by receiving Jesus, we become children of God. So the way of adoption is made clear. The identity of believers is defined, that children of God are children through faith in Jesus Christ. You see, it's not who we are, but it's whose we are. This is a mistake that Israel made in the Old Testament. They thought to themselves, well, nothing's going to happen to us. We're God's children. We're God's chosen people. And Paul wrote to the Romans. He said to them, It's not the natural children who are God's children. It's the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. In other words, through faith, we become children of God, not through natural birth, not naturally. We're not born children of God. So we can't assume that we're children of God just simply because we're alive. So one comes to be a child of God through adoption. Next, although God's love saves us, and we learned last week through Paul's letter to Titus, God doesn't save us just to store us on a shelf. He saves us to display us for His glory. Because the children of God praise God and worship God as the Father. We glorify God. His glory is displayed through His children and through His family. And children have an obligation to the Father. Paul again says to the Romans, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. It's not to the sinful nature. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, heirs, inheritors. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are heirs. We have an obligation to live according to God's will, obediently. Having an obligation. He goes on to say, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. Or as the King James Version says, the spirit of adoption. The Holy Spirit. And he says it's by the Holy Spirit that we cry, Father. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength and the faith and the conviction to call God our Father. Because we're filled with His Holy Spirit. We're children of God, filled with God's Holy Spirit. Why would God put His Spirit into someone who doesn't accept God's plan of adoption? And the answer is, He doesn't. He doesn't. You see, Paul taught in Ephesians that having believed the truth, the gospel of salvation, God put His Spirit in the believers as a guarantee, as a seal unto the day of redemption, to the day of our resurrection. Unbelievers don't have an obligation to God, and in fact that's why many people will not accept this. That's why so many people won't believe, because they don't want to be obligated to God. They want to be God. Children willingly submit and live as children. And lastly, the blessings of God's children. I cannot figure out for the life of me why someone would think that they are going to inherit the kingdom of God without receiving Jesus as Savior. I can't imagine why someone would think that or believe that. Because the Bible says there's no other way to inherit eternal life. Jesus told Nicodemus, and if Jesus is our King, our teacher, and God on earth, then we have to believe that that is the only way. We can't believe pop culture, the top 10 bestsellers in the bookstore, the press, the newspapers. We have to believe God's Word. You see, before the creation of the world, there was no other way until God made a way. And Ephesians tells us that He made a way in love. John says in 3:16, God gave us a way through Jesus because He loves us and wants to adopt us. In Titus, it tells us that He did it because of His mercy or His love. So when in Romans, Paul tells us that believers receive a spirit of sonship, there's an eternal reason that we become heirs. That's the glorious part. When we're adopted as God's children, we automatically understand from the Bible that we are now heirs, co-heirs with Christ, to inherit the kingdom of God. God's love adopts us as His children through faith in Jesus Christ. As God's children, we have an obligation to live as God's obedient children. As God's children, we have a promise of a glorious inheritance as Jesus had and now enjoys. So we say, well, why is all this relevant to us today? I don't know if I really believe all this. I hear so many other things. I talk to a lot of people who say, well, I believe in God. Especially when asked, are you going to heaven? Oh, yeah, I believe in God. I go to church. So I say, well, what about Jesus? I say, well, I know who he is. But I think there are many ways to heaven, and we just have to find out the way that's best for each of us. They say, well, it's a personal choice, you know? And I said, yes, yes it is. It's a personal choice, so don't blame God when you don't go to heaven someday. Don't you think that's a little harsh? No. It's the truth. It's the Word of God that tells us that. Whether we want to accept it or not, it's the truth. God sends no one to hell. It's a personal choice. So that's not fair. That's not fair. But it's justice. And you just said that you believe in God, who the Bible says is a just God. You see? There is no other argument, as the hymn says. There's no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Right? Well, why would God want to adopt me? Here's the question. So I thought about this week. Why would God want to adopt me? All the things that I've done, all the things that I've said. You know that time when, you know over there when, you know that person that I, you know. You see, that's the key. Because God loves us as his creation. And God is more interested in who you are becoming and what you can be than what you have been. And when you believe in Him and receive Jesus as your Savior, God removes our transgressions, the Bible tells us, as far as the east is from the west. He adopts us into His family as His children and continues us on the journey. Because he loves us. Ephesians tells us this was his plan. This made him happy to do it this way before the creation of the world. God loves us all and wants us all to be his children so that we all can be with him in his kingdom. Unfortunately, we are not all his children. So, for those of us that are, we need to go to our families, our friends, our classmates, our co-workers, and let them know the truth that's contained in the Bible and in God's Word. Telling you today that God wants to adopt you because he loves you, but he cannot adopt you if you don't want him to. As I said before, he does not force himself into your life. He knocks on the door. And it's high time that many folks let him in. Because to those who receive Christ, to those who believe in his name, Christ gives the right to become children of God. For people who are not followers of Christ claiming to be children of God, they do not have the right to make that claim, our Bible tells us. As a child of God, just wait and see what he has in store for you. His promises are eternal, they're everlasting, they're here from cover to cover. The examples are here for us when we turn away and reject him and stop acting like his children. But yet the promises are here that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, take us back and walk this walk with his children to eternal life. And as we walk together in this life, we don't walk alone. God goes along with us. And next week we'll be talking about how God's love molds us along the journey. choir is going to share a great song with us this morning as they were singing. I said this would be very, very appropriate for after the sermon. So let's listen to their great message they have for us this morning.